Let me take you on a little journey here. I want to show you something that's, I think, significant. Back up a bit here. Let the story begin at the end. I got power here. You probably can't see that, but you might know it well enough by now that it doesn't matter. You looking? You seeing? Show of hands in the back. Okay. And I have duration of effort here, right? Okay. And if I take some data points, I take a couple of tests at 10 seconds, a couple of tests, doesn't matter how many, the more the better, out at a handful of durations here, figure these averages for these and graph this thing, I get a curve. Show of hands if you know what I'm talking about. Fantastic, it's working. This is what? There's more. Work capacity measured across broad time and modal domains. Beautiful, beautiful. And now we have a quantifiable, a measure of fitness, including a definition, no? Okay. And we know that things like VO2 max and lactate threshold and even something like strength or cardiorespiratory endurance, those are correlates. Maybe they're components of what's going on in here, but in any case, they're clearly subordinate to. And our easy test is, would you trade an increase in VO2 max for a decrease in work capacity across broad time and modal domains? Maybe, maybe not, but you, to do so would be to be accepting less fitness for an improved measure of fitness, maybe, right? Doesn't sound like a winning proposition. You with me? Okay, now, this is interesting. And so what we have under here is fitness. If I take a third axis out here, age, and I turn this into a three-dimensional model, and it looks something like that. Can you see it? All right. What we've done here, this by the way, that is a picture of the almost a real-time moment when I made this discovery, when it's hit me, when it's dawned on me. That's on the board at the level one cert in Brooklyn. Do you see what is supposed to be a three-dimensional shape there? And, you know, the reality of it wouldn't look like that. My hypothesis is that at age zero, our productive application of force, your productive power, would be close to zero, right? And then, I mean, I have to give you some credit for being able to suck, and that's about it. And then later you crawl, walk, run, and for a lot of people it might peak at 25 or 30. And then for another good number of people, they discover CrossFit at 40 or 50, and they might even exceed their best performance ever as a kid. We see a lot of that. I can tell you right now, for instance, Jim Baker at 60 years old is fitter than he's ever been in his life. And he was a Marine, Vietnam vet Marine. Check this out. That volume now we're talking about a solid, okay? That volume is health. And things like blood pressure and cholesterol and even things that you know would seem all important, like whether you have cancer or not, become correlates or components, but are certainly subordinate to that volume under the curve. Let's play the same game. Suppose you at 90 years old have, say, 75% of the work capacity you had at 25, which was significant. Suppose at 90, Greg Amundsen has 70% of his current capacity. But he's not in good health because his cholesterol's bad. Here you are, you're running up and down stairs. If you're a male, you're chasing the ladies. If you're a lady, you're chasing a man. You can ward off someone that thinks they're going to grab you at the ATM, you spear them on their ass and crush their skull with your boot. They'd put you in a nursing home if they could catch you. But your health isn't good. Is there any meaning in there? I don't see any. I don't see any. What we have here, and this is, I think it's very significant, is a unification of health and fitness. That fitness is work capacity measured across broad time and modal domains, and health is fitness measured across your age. Ponder it. I find it largely inescapable. Let's play with this. I've never enjoyed the longevity crowd. It was it's one of the aberrations of my industry that was kind of quirky to me. To make the end all just to live to be, you know, to what you're doing here is forget the volume of this. I just want this one axis out long. This is how we get to my fear is that someday we'll all live to be 150. But you still go to the nursing home at 75, and so you get 75 years of Oprah and having someone wipe your ass and feed you. You know, it's not what I'm looking for. It's an interesting thing about aging too. Is just as an aside, the most outstanding clinical feature of centenarians, people at 100, is that they're in remarkably good health, and yet their life expectancy from that date is like 2.5 years, and so what you have is an accelerated demise, and you know. If you do much thinking at all about that, it's actually best case scenario. You get that? Live to be 100 and you're perfect health and 102, boom, you know, you just, it's all right. It's a, end's got to come. That's the pretty end. Theodore Dalrymple, who's a pseudonym for a pen name for a physician in Great Britain, and he's one of the editors at the Wall Street Journal, has talked about this. In fact, in this same essay where I first saw this concept of the accelerated demise, he was saying that the real frontier is fitness. Not medication, not surgery, but fitness. His view is entirely supportive of this. You with me? Show of hands if it's resonating. That's outstanding. Yeah. That was why when I asked how many had given someone rhabdo, that's what I didn't want to see. Questions.